fluffy bread,
classic burger buns,
and so many carbs.
Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to Star Wars Splash Page Comics in Review.
It is episode number 210, and we have had it certified. You can take it to the bank. It's certified. Number 210. Good evening, Jeff.
Geek me all knowing box set. Stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before, cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
Hi, Matt, and no promises on the certification of my voice this evening. I'm having some allergy issues, so we'll do our best. Thankfully, I won't be having to do a whole lot of talking because we have some guests joining us that will be far more interesting than me.
That's not true, but they are just as interesting as you are week in and week out, except for the tedium that is me and you daily, day in
right.
And day out. I kid. No, we are going to be joined by Jedi Geek Girl, whom you probably know from Twitter. We have a lot of interactions with her on Twitter. And if everything works out as we hope it will, we are going to be joined by a comic book artist who is in the process of developing his own fan-made headcanon awesome one-shot that features Boba Fett fighting predators. I kid thee not. And they're doing it in the belly of the Sarlacc. So he's got a 4-page preview that came out in late October, and you can read it for free at billyscomics.com, and we're going to chat with Billy about that. I saw this over the weekend. I was like, this is great. So
yeah, it is a lot of fun. So we'll if Billy isn't able to join us this evening, we'll have him on a bit later.
Oh, at definitely. Some point.
But definitely. One of the drawbacks to recording weekly is we sometimes make announcements and then can't follow through. Our schedules write checks that our podcast can't cash. But
I think we're cool because Billy G just showed up.
Excellent, excellent. So we will talk to him here in just a few minutes. And so we don't have any books to discuss this week, but do we have any news, Matt, before we introduce Billy?
Yes, we do. Not a whole lot of news, of course, but that's to be expected. However, fans of Dr. Aphra Volume 2 note that the first trade collecting the first 5 issues of the second volume of the Dr. Aphra series, which is due out January 27th, has been expanded by 8 pages to 120 pages. The price is unchanged at $15.99. And of course, fans of Darth Vader, and we know there are lots of you out there, will be very happy to note that Darth Vader Volume 2, Volume 3 trade paperback Burning Seas is coming back into print. So you don't have to look high and low for that anymore. You can just go to your local comic book shop and ask them to order you a copy. That trade, of course, collects issues number 13 and 18 and Darth Vader Annual number 2. And that's kind of where we are at the moment. So that's literally all we've got. Although, because I think we had discussed and we had mentioned the fact already that the Rise of Skywalker miniseries adaptation has been canceled by the publisher.
Yes, we limited that last week. So, okay, so yeah. That's, again, not a whole lot of news this week. We have no new comics. So let's talk a little bit to Billy. And I'm going to stop recording just so we can...
And now, on Star Wars splash page. This week is a little different. Here's why. There are no new Star Wars comics out December 2nd. It happens. It's rare, but it does happen. However, we believe since you get what you pay for, which is cheapest free, we will always have content for you, the listeners, on a Wednesday. And we are very fortunate to be joined not just by Jeff, because he's here every week and everybody knows who he is, but we are joined by Jedi Geek Girl, whom many of you may know from Twitter, as well as, you know, she hosts her own podcast as well. But more importantly, we have a special guest, Billy G, who is apparently an awesome guitar player, who wanted to draw comics when he was younger and has now found the time to actually embark on what is his first effort, which is, you know, for the lack of a better term, the most bitchin' crossover I have seen in probably 2 or 3 years that features Boba Fett fighting the Predators. Yes, those Predators. and of course, it's not canon. It will probably never be canon, although you should never quite rule it out now that, you know, that now that Marvel has the alien license.
Right, so, they own everything.
But, you know, so it's an effort that that Billy is working on. It's still a work in progress, but he has got a 4-page preview that you can read for free at his website, which is billyscomics.com. Am I correct, Billy?
Yep, all in word.
All right, I got to ask. And, of course, Jedi Geek Girl, jump in anytime you want. And feel free to make sure that I give everybody ample time. But I'm going to lead off with this question. Billy, why Boba Fett and Predator?
Man, I just thought it was such an interesting fight, like a pretty evenly matched fight, you know? I just thought it would be, you know, as a comic fan, I just thought it was something that that I would be interested in seeing. You know, I just thought it was a really cool matchup. So, and I tried to load that Sarlacc with a lot of, I don't know if you noticed, but I tried to pack a lot of cameos and other bounty hunters in there too. So I kind of made it like a kind of Thunderdome of bounty hunter type characters or cosmic type characters that haven't necessarily, you know, met up yet in their universes yet. And I don't know, it just kind of came together at the right time too, because Marvel kind of owns everything right now. And, you know, they just got Predator and Alien and stuff. So I don't know, I just thought it was an interesting idea to try to do.
And is that Samus Aran in one panel?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that looks like Samus. So thank you for confirming that. That's awesome.
Yeah, another bounty hunter. I just thought that would be kind of a fun little thing to throw in there.
For me, when I saw that, I'm a huge gamer, so I know who Samus is. I saw that, and it reminded me of the death battle video between Boba Fett and Samus that I forget what they are called did, but was that intentional or...
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with that, no. No, I've never seen that before.
I will have to send you the link, or you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, please do.
Now, Billy, you know...
Happy accidents all around.
You got to love happy accidents. Those usually result in some of the best creations made. Now, Billy, you know, on your bio, it said that, you know, you had kind of really dug comics for a long time, but then... You know, as comics fans are wont to do as they get a little older, you know, they gravitate toward other interests. And in this case, it's music, no?
Yeah, it was music for me. I actually, I went to design school. I went to graphic design school in Phoenix. And I actually had an interview at Chaos Comics when I was still going to school. And of course, you know, I was still way too green and way, you know, I wasn't ready to work at a place like that. This was like back in their heyday. They were doing like, you know, this was after Lady Death and during Image's big. So a lot of the independents were doing very well, and they were very popular and stuff. But so after that interview, I was kind of discouraged and stuff. And I saw how difficult it would be to try to break in. At least at that time, it was a lot more difficult. Back then, you know, it was kind of before the internet wasn't as big and, you know, there wasn't social media or anything. So yeah, I just kind of lost interest in it and just started playing music and getting involved in the scene here in Phoenix. And with everything that happened this year, I had a lot of time off work, had a lot of extra free time. And I just said, what the heck, you know, I'll try to fill it doing something, that's more constructive than playing video games, I guess. So that's why I started drawing the comic. And I'd never really done one before. So that's kind of my goal, is just to finish this one and take it from there and see how it goes.
Clearly, designing this, creating something in the Star Wars universe with your music background, did you ever mix music in Star Wars? Like, I don't know if you wrote music or wrote lyric, but did you ever mix those two things?
That's a really good question. Music has always been mixed with comics for me, like even when I was younger and drawing comics and stuff all the time. You know, I was always listening to music while I was drawing, you know, so it was always mixed for me. But as far as this project with Star Wars, it's kind of, I let some of the influence show in, the character that's narrating the story is, he's influenced by sort of our pop culture that goes on this planet. And so he's sort of into like 80s. That's his favorite genre of music. So there's actually I like put a little reference to some 80s music in his narration in those four pages. So I guess that's as close as mixing music and Star Wars so far. That's as close as I've came. So.
Well, so the question,
and now I have another layer. Now I have another layer to go back and reread all of this. that's great.
So the question has to be asked: what did you listen to in particular? If you want to share, or if you want to try to have readers try to guess what you were listening to when you were doing this.
Sure. I if I say it, it'll give it away. So I might as well just tell you exactly what it was. The song that I had stuck in my head when I was drawing this, I just thought it was the perfect soundtrack for this fight, was an old Alice in Chains song called We Die Young. I think it's off their first record. And that song just kept playing back and, you know, just kept playing over and over in my head as the background music to this fight between Predator and Boba Fett. So those are actually that's the reference that the watcher makes when, you know, while he's watching this fight go down. That's what he's.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant, because if there's one band that's gonna play a concert inside the Sarlacc, it would be Alice in Chains.
Right,
I think you're absolutely right on that. But I do have to ask, you mentioned he was a fan of 80s music. I'm assuming the very last line that we see in this little four page spread you gave us was "You should have known better."
Uh-huh.
That's not a Richard Marx reference, is it?
No, that's actually a reference to that We Die Young song. That's funny, though.
Okay. Another happy accident.
Right.
At
right.
least for me.
Full of them.
I'm glad to hear that it was Alice in Chains, because that was they were such an amazing band live. You know,
I came late to the party with Alice in Chains too, because growing up I was always in the Nirvana camp, and it wasn't until, you know, way after high school and college and everything that I realized, wow, Alice in Chains was probably the most talented band out of all of those bands that
whole scene was so vibrant, you know, especially when you're looking through the lens of hindsight, and when you go through everything from, you know, the way they, you know, from Mother Love Bone to way everything sort of melded into Soundgarden, and then into Screaming Trees, and then over and, you know, obviously Alice in Chains, and then of course into Nirvana, and then you hop over to Olympia, you know, for the Kill Rock Stars label stuff, and it was always just mind blowing. So I mean,
such a huge, rich.
It was a great 2 weeks of my life in 1991. Just going to see shows in Seattle, and skipping lots of class in college.
So, right.
And we're talking, I road trip from Alabama to Seattle to go see all these shows. So
yeah, that's awesome. Man.
Now
that, you know, now that I think of it, that was another one of the reasons that stopped me, drawing comics is seeing Nirvana on Saturday Night
Live. I remember that broadcast. Yeah,
when I saw that when I was a kid, that totally changed my outlook on everything and what I was going to do, you know, with the next 20 years.
Well, yeah, it was a seminal moment. I think it was one of those earth-shattering or earth-shaking moments for music. You know, and it really just, you know, especially, you know, where you had that sort of weird nebulous bubble from about 88 to 90, 91, you know, popular music nationwide. And it was just kind of like, huh? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, no, music is back. So, but I got to go. Right. No, I do want to steer this back towards Star Wars. And of course, obviously music is a strong influence on Star Wars. But when you were growing up, what was your first memory of Star Wars?
I was a huge, like everyone in my generation, probably I loved the first three movies. I guess my first memories were probably from Empire or from Jedi. I don't know in particular, but yeah, I absolutely loved those movies. Had all the little toys and everything. Had the Darth Vader carrying case filled with all the loose figures. They all got stolen from me. I remember bringing that case over to a friend's house, and there was a bunch of kids over there. And by the time, you know, I was done playing over there, I had, you know, two or three figures left in the case. They were all gone. All the kids
took. Oh, lame.
but yeah, that was probably my first memory of Star Wars, and you know, absolutely loving those movies, and then. My experience was kind of being let down, of course, by Phantom Menace. I really wasn't a huge fan of the next, you know, three movies. And I'm really not a huge fan of the current movies either, but I do absolutely love The Mandalorian. I think that show's amazing. And it's like kind of taking Star Wars back to kind of, you know, like where I think it should have been the whole time.
Yeah, and that's I think is the beauty of Star Wars, is because if there's an aspect of it you don't like, there's always another part of it that will probably appeal to you. I was weaned on the original trilogy, and then when the prequel trilogy came out, I was like, well, you know, all right, it's not for me, it's for a new generation, and that's cool. But then like right. The older I got, the more I would rewatch the prequel trilogy. It got to the point that I was like, you know, I can see why, you know, these, you know, kids, you know, the kids who saw it in the theaters who are adults now love this trilogy. And you know, I myself am now a quasi card carrying member of the prequel defense squad. not in the least, 'cause that's the beauty of it. You know, I mean, you know, hey, you know, if that's not your thing, it's not your thing. It's no big deal. So. I mean, but that's
right. I love Darth Maul. I'll definitely give it that. Darth Maul is an amazing, cool character. But outside of that, I just really couldn't get into him.
So I have a question for you, actually for everybody on here, Jedi Geek Girl, Matt, everybody. The cover for this that you've created is a takeoff on the What If comics from the 80s, which I'm a huge fan of as well. I have two questions. Do any of you have a favorite What If comic from when they were published? And two, what Star Wars What If, besides Boba Fett, what if Boba Fett fought the Predator, would you most like to see in print? This is maybe something Bill can work on when this one's done.
You know, I haven't read these. I know that because I'm a little younger, so I didn't get the comics when they first came out, not to make right. anybody feel old or anything. So,
oh, don't worry. Jeff and I, you know, we're already fending off AARP.
You don't even have to try. Yeah, you don't even have to try over here.
I know for me, I was first introduced to them through my library, I think it was. And I know that I read a couple of them, but the only one that really stuck out with me was What If the New Fantastic Four Day Together.
I remember
with Ghost Rider.
Oh yeah. That's
Spider-Man, Wolverine, yep. and Hulk. Yep.
Was a good one. I remember that one. That was a really good one.
Yeah, and there was a couple other ones, but that one just comes to my mind right away. I'm sure, like, if I had a bunch of them in front of me, I could probably pick out some of my favorite ones. But that one always stuck
that's
out.
That's a good
with
one.
Me.
That's a really good choice. And that's one.
Yeah, that's a great. I always loved that team when Art Adams, of course, drew that. That was amazing. Did he draw that? Do you know Jedi Geek Girl if he drew that What If issue?
I would not know that. Matt would probably know.
I have a. I think that he may have. I know. At the very least, he did the cover. But you know, because I know
it would make so much sense.
Yeah, because that was because usually the thing was is when you got a What If book, it was the creative team, the art team at least, they did it from basically, front cover to end cover. So they always had a little extra time, and the deadlines were not as strict. Because What If always had sort of a fluctuating publishing schedule. So I'm going to have to say, when it comes to Marvel's What If, the one that I really liked the most was is the one What If Phoenix hadn't died. Which was, because that stems from that great X-Men run where the X-Men, with Jean Grey had to actually die for her crimes as the Phoenix. And of course, sure. that's at the time, because I was reading comics when that whole story arc was laid out and it was so good. But I would say this, if I had my druthers and we could do a Star Wars What If, and I really think that at some point, they should start doing things like that, where they step out of canon, kind of like what Dark Horse did with Infinities. Star Wars tales. But yeah. What I would really like to see is a what if Luke did not survive his encounter with the Wampa on Hoth.
Oh, that's good.
Or the Wampa kills him. And then all of a sudden, you sit there and you've got, okay, there's, Luke doesn't go to Dagobah. He doesn't find out Vader is his father. The rebellion is robbed of its recruiting poster, Golden Child.
You make a very dark time.
I look at it as a way as, then Leia steps up and she assumes the mantle.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that done in the second Star Wars Infinity series?
Kind of, except she sort of, didn't she go evil?
She did, yeah. She turned to the dark side.
It had some sort of happy ending, I remember.
Star Wars and happy endings? That can't be possible. No,
that would be good.
That's heresy, Jedi Geek Girl.
Conclusion of some kind. So.
No, you may be right. I'll have to go back and look. But I mean, to me, that was just, and I have to admit, there was a part of me that even at like, because I remember vividly having a school lunchroom conversation about this while waiting for Return of the Jedi to come out. So
for me, since you're giving your what if, I'm going to give my one. And this was explored a little bit in the I'm the prequel generation, FYI. So this was explored a little bit in the Revenge of the Sith video game. But what if Anakin Skywalker overthrew the Emperor? Or technically it would start with killing Obi-Wan and going and overthrowing the Emperor.
Ooh. I like that.
Another dark timeline.
That has so many potentials, so many possibilities. Wow. That would be awesome. You should write that. Seriously.
I have no talent for writing.
I have no talent for podcasting.
You just did have to
write. You just laid out the story structure right there. You could totally do it. all right. Billy, we have had a good time chatting with you, but is there something?
Well, we didn't. Answer,
bring it up, Billy. Come on. Do it.
Oh, okay. My favorite what if is probably the what if Wolverine was Lord of the Vampires. I don't know if you guys.
Oh,
that was my favorite story.
Yeah.
As a kid, I loved that story. It was super dark at the end. I mean, it was like, I loved the what ifs. Just anyway, they were all so like Twilight Zone-y to me. They always felt just so much darker than a normal Marvel comic. And I don't know. There was just something really cool about the what if series, but yeah.
Well, and for me, just to break in real quick, for me, mine would be what if Uncle Ben had lived.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Which goes, it's sort of an It's a Wonderful Life type scenario, like what you were talking about, where they allowed it to get a little dark.
Right.
So yeah, that
was always a great great thing about the what ifs. And I don't really know what I would do outside of what I'm already doing, though. I haven't really thought.
Yeah,
about
I think
it.
You kind of nailed it already. I think you're doing it. Like I said, if you just told me there's a book, What If Boba Fett Bought Predator, Fought Predator? Here's my $5 right now. I would take as many copies as you have on hand.
Love the concept. What's your timeline? You know, when do you aim to have the book completed? Is it something that you're working on here and there when you can, or?
Yeah, I'm just loosely saying that I'll have it done next year because I'm just not very fast right now. You know, it took me, and I'm doing everything myself, you know, so I'm going from, you know, laying out the pages all the way down to, you know, folding the comics and stapling them and putting them in the bags and stuff. So I'm doing everything from start to finish. So it's going to take me a little while, but I'm looking to have it out next year and it'll be, you know, full 20-page comic, and I'm hopefully I'll be able to pack in a poster and maybe some trading cards in with it, and so it'll be, you know, people will think they're getting, you know, a value for what they pay. So
I guess I would be remiss if I didn't ask this, but when you're illustrating it, are you doing it old school or are you doing it digital or a mix of the both?
Yeah, I'm doing old school pencils on Bristol board, and then from there I'm scanning it and painting it digitally and everything.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
true. I would definitely like to say I love comics like these. Again, going back to my youth, I used to read comics like this in the library, like Superman versus Alien, Green Lantern versus Alien. I love these. If awesome. Somebody is also interested in this comic and would like to get updates, is there a way to sign up, like, for a newsletter or a Twitter account where people can find you to follow and get updates?
Thanks. Yeah, they can just follow me on Instagram. It's just Billy's Comics, or just, you know, check my website periodically. Or I'm also on Facebook too.
Oh, cool. And so yeah, and we'll have links in the show notes to all of those as well, so people should just be able to click on it when they're looking at the notes.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Anytime. We're always happy to help out creators.
Awesome.
Jedi Geek Girl, you've done this before, haven't you? That was a great segue.
Yeah, I might have a little bit of experience with podcasting.
That was great.
Cool. Well, Billy, that's it. Thank you so much. See, I told you, no muss, no fuss. It wasn't going to hurt you at all.
Yeah, Matt and Jeff, thank you guys. Thank you, Jedi Geek Girl. You guys have all been fantastic. This was a great first podcast, guys.
Well,
thank
it definitely
so
won't be the last. And, you know, we will be... you know, as Chancellor Palpatine once said, we shall be following your career with great interest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Jedi Geek Girl, our favorite part of the podcast. And as you know, as you've said, you've got a little experience with Star Wars and podcasting. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because we do have listeners who may only know you by name on Twitter.
Sure. My name is Jedi Geek Girl. I go by at Jedi Geek Girl everywhere, as you just said. I host a podcast that right now is weekly, but will be bi-weekly once the new year happened, and that podcast is called I Rebel, a Star Wars Destiny, a Star Wars podcast. Gotta remember that it's changing now. I originally got my start with the Star Wars Destiny video game, hence the slip up with my title of the podcast, and I also run a website that does articles for almost everything geeky. Basically, we focus on Star Wars Destiny, which is a card and dice game from Fantasy Flight game, Arkham Horror, which is another game, Marvel Champions, which is another game. You might be catching a theme. As far as my podcast goes, it is a Star Wars podcast. And the main focus is I host it and I have a guest on and we talk about a topic from canon or legends and we alternate weekly. For example, episode 101, which was our first episode after a relaunched episode, was based on the Phantom Menace, and then episode 102 was based on Hair of the Empire, so and then we alternated from there. So that's a little bit about myself.
Okay, now you are also you're an avid reader of the Star Wars comics, both Legends, the expanded universe as well as the modern ones. Right now, what would you say from the current Marvel and IDW crop? What's your preferred comic book?
For what is currently going, it obviously would have to be Dr. Aphra. If we are talking about the whole Marvel comic line since the relaunch, it would have to be pretty much everything Darkseid. They really knock everything out of the park when it comes to the villains. But again, it's Dr. Aphra. I'm always going to say Dr. Aphra because Dr. Aphra is my favorite character. I love her. And for many little boys growing up, for me, being a young woman, I wish I was Aphra like a lot of little boys wish they were Indiana Jones.
That's perfect. And I won't lie, I wouldn't mind being Dr. Aphra myself. She's right. I love, because that whole character is just wonderfully morally ambiguous, yet is always wrestling with herself. And, and I love the fact that Marvel, I don't think they've ever tacitly said it outright, but we're basically reading Indiana Jones in space, except there's a lot more snark and a lot more vit and vinegar in it, I think. And that's one of the things that really appeals to me about Dr. Aphra and has from the very get-go. I remember when she made that appearance. What was it? Darth Vader Volume 1, Number 3. And, Jeff and I were talking about it. It's like, I really hope we see a whole lot more of her. So, I mean,
lucky for us, Marvel listens to every word we say. So,
maybe not every word, but so that's solid choice all the way around. I will have to say this, and as for all of the Marvel Star Wars comics that have come out since 2015, I have two very odd choices for probably my standouts in terms of story, and they're both miniseries. The first one is Obi-Wan and Anakin. That Charles Soule and Marco Tichetto did, because it gave us such a very unique view into the master Padawan relationship, but also really set the, we saw the seeds planted for Palpatine to sort of corrupt Anakin Skywalker. And then I really liked the Mace Windu miniseries. And that one does not get a lot of love because a lot of people found the art by Dennis Cowan very off-putting. I grew up reading Dennis, reading Dennis Cowan's The Question Book, so I've always loved his style. But just the way that whole series was written, it really, to me, just underscored the hubris of the Jedi Order and Mace Windu in particular, and it made it very much a whole lot easier to see why the Order fell.
For me, as I mentioned during the interview, I am a prequel trilogy baby, so I love that you brought up those two series. And I love Obi-Wan and Anakin because it explores in canon a period of time that we don't have anything about, and that is a glimpse of the relationship with Obi-Wan and Anakin. And I can see how some people might see that air to be a little bit boring, but I mean, give me a whole... if it was up to me and I was put into creative, I was like, put this as an ongoing, go to 25 issues, because I really want to get into that relationship. And I know that period in galactic history in canon is a little bit of, okay, there's not so much going on, especially if you want to just focus on these two characters. But I think not only would the dynamic between Obi-Wan and Anakin be nice to see, but the growing manipulation and fostering and, getting his hands into everything with Anakin, with Palpatine, would be just so delicious. And I think we got such a slice of that in that miniseries that I was left wanting more.
It was a wonderful example, and that's a poor choice of words. Or actually, let me rephrase that. It was a stellar example of an almost perverse grooming
that Palpatine was, you know, beginning to launch of Anakin in that miniseries. And I agree with you. You know, as I said earlier in the podcast when we were talking to Billy, you know, when the prequel trilogy first came out, you know, I was entertained, you know, but it wasn't my trilogy. But again, the more I've watched it, and the more I've gone back and read some of the books, you know, especially the novelizations, and then you know, when we get all that material, which we could still get a whole lot more. To me, I think it really is probably the most creatively dynamic time frame for which to mine stories from, particularly in the medium of comics. And I'm very curious to see how the High Republic is going to do when it launches in January, because I you know, to be at the cusp of essentially this whole new era and genre of Star Wars storytelling. I mean, you know, to be in a time when the Jedi are at their peak, it's going to be incredible to see. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how far they go with it, you know, knowing, you know, obviously what we know ultimately will happen. So, but again, you know, it's definitely going to be a fun ride.
Before I forget, Jeff, I would like to bring up something because I am a longtime listener. I have listened to every episode outside of a couple of Youngling episodes, but I got a kick when you were talking and reviewing the issues of the Jedi Fallen Order miniseries. Thank you for the shout out, by the way. I got a kick out of how you were like struggling a little bit with the dialogue about how it was like wordy and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm just enjoying this. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on here, but just give me more.
Well, you know, and sometimes I have trouble just letting things wash over me. And that's part of the reason Matt jokes a lot about the fact that I don't read books without pictures. And he's right. I don't do a whole lot of leisure reading because when I'm reading a book, when I'm reading, you know, any kind of book, if it's just dialogue, just words, I'm filming the movie in my mind. So I get really caught up on that. And it's the same if I'm reading a comic and I'm having trouble with the dialogue, I just cannot move forward. So I'm glad that my misery was amusing to you.
Well, I grew up on the Phantom Menace, so I'm kind of used to that.
The king of, Lucas called himself that. I went from, what did he say? I went from something to being the king of wooden dialogue when he got the Kennedy Center honors years ago or something.
But bringing this back around to the High Republic, I am so excited for the High Republic, not just because it's going to be a new area of Star Wars storytelling, not only in canon, but just in general with Star Wars, because they didn't really explore this in Legends. You had like the Old Republic, and you had the Old Republic, but 200 years beforehand, as far as I am aware in my dive of Legends, that hasn't really been explored. And I'm so excited because it's going to be new, fresh, never explored, and you're going to have a bunch of well-established creators come aboard to explore this area and create content for it with a lot of creative freedom. I mean, obviously you cannot blow up Naboo, but basically, you can do whatever you want, but I just get excited not only at that, but can you imagine 3 years in or 5 years in the interconnectivity and everything being so well established? Oh, so, like,
totally. I mean, you know, because, yeah, you know, we're already seeing that now, you know, in the current crop of Marvel comics, you know, with, you know, as you know, with them dropping hints about, you know, what, you know, about High Republic this, or, you know, Nile technology, you know, Nile tech this, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very clear that they have got this. I'm sure that they have this probably painstakingly mapped out for maybe 5 to 10 years. And, you know, and I honestly believe that, you know, that the comics and the books will be the foundation on which the High Republic rests. But I do think that, you know, as they get deeper into the lore of the High Republic, that it will start to branch out to other media, you know, i.e. perhaps TV, you know, who knows, maybe even film. But, you know, I could definitely see that happening. It won't be immediate, but I think we will start to see it.
You know, Kathleen Kennedy made a quote that, when it came to coming up with ideas for plots and stuff like that, that there wasn't a whole lot there to mine with. She got a little bit of blowback because you have all this legend stuff. But to me, when I look at the High Republic, it is this new era of Star Wars building that up, where you have like 5-10 years of history and this universe that you can draw from in other media. And obviously they are a business and they're doing a little bit of, let's see how this does or whatever. But I look at the High Republic as, okay, we're creating this, we're going to grow it, we're going to foster it. It might be its own thing, but maybe we can draw from it from the future, which is another reason I think if people are questioning whether or not they should explore the High Republic, I would highly recommend, because if it is a success from a business point of view, and maybe if it isn't a success from a business point of view, I would expect them to draw into it to like live action or, you know, maybe even a movie or something. So
I agree 125%, if not more.
So, yes, thank you, Jedi Geek Girl, for joining us. And thank you again to Bill for joining us as well.
Matt, we only have one new title, and that's from Marvel. It's going to be Star Wars #9. Of course, there are three covers, including a Droopy McCool action figure variant from John Tyler Christopher, as well as the obligatory Empire Strikes Back variant that shows the Falcon being escorted by a cloud car into Bespin. Or to Cloud City, if you will. However, if you are fans of Star Wars Adventures and were unable to get some of the earlier trades collecting some of the issues from the first volume of Star Wars Adventures, well, December 9th is going to be your day, because we're getting Volume 2, Unexpected Detour, Volume 4, Smuggler's Blues, and Volume 6, collecting all of the Flight of the Falcon stories. Yeah.
Excellent. That'll be a lot of fun. So we'll be back next week to discuss the one book that we do have coming out next week. And any other news that comes out between now and then, just watch the Twitter feed or just listen to next week's show. So for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
I'm Matt.
And may the Force be...
No, you forgot somebody. Redo it. You ready? You're Jeff.
Yes.
I'm Matt.
Yes.
And I'm Jedi Geek Girl.
And may the Force be with you.
Ready on three. 1, 2, 3. Always.
Like a well-oiled machine. 3 theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.